Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. We are glad to have you with us tonight. And, of course, we're glad to have you with us every night.
Amen.
Amen. Those of you that join us from around the world. And, of course, our two greatest nations for listening to the Blog Talk Radio program are the United States of America and Canada. But welcome. We're glad to have you all from wherever you are around the world. Let's add YouTube with us tonight. Content of this meeting is being sent to a third party. It's not for a fourth party. It's just a third one. So welcome, 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 welcome. It's Monday night, and we're live on YouTube. Whoops. There we go. Whoops. There we go. And, you know, it's an interesting day because we were having beautiful spring weather here in North Dakota. And then. If you walk outside tonight, it looks like March the 4th in North Dakota. It looks totally like March the 4th in North Dakota.
Hi, Scott and Braden.
4 inches of snow on the ground.
Yeah.
25 degrees. The wind's blowing. You know, it's just a typical North Dakota March the 4th, you know. And, you know, I've been trying to hear. Hey, Scott and Braden, love you guys. I've been trying to hear what everybody says here about weather, you know. In Michigan, the statement was, if March comes in like a lion, it'll go out like a lamb. I think the statement around here is, watch out, I've seen snow in 11 of the 12 months.
And it is just so funny how it can be. One day and a complete blizzard and roads shut down the next.
I was talking to somebody the other day, a lady at some restaurant or somewhere. And I asked her if she knew of any of those old farmer sayings like that. She goes, no, I don't know any of those statements, but she says, I do know we've had to cancel the band day event several times because of a blizzard.
Uh-oh.
Of course, that's the first Saturday of May.
May, yeah.
And you know, you'd think, well, maybe next year they'll put it out a little bit farther. But, I mean, how much farther than May do you have to put out the first spring parade, you know? And, of course, that 1 year since we've been here, well, I think it was 2020, wasn't it?
Yeah, because it was the first year we were doing.
It was 2020, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was 35 degrees and rain snowing that day.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being out there blowing on your trumpet in 34-degree weather, you might not be able to get your buzz going. It just might not work effectively. But anyways, welcome, welcome, welcome. What's that have to do with tonight's program? Absolutely nothing, except I'm a human, you're a human, and these are the wonderful things that's going on. You know, we prayed over this morning about Donner Pass. Got 10 feet of snow over the weekend.
Wow.
10 feet of snow. At one point had 100-mile-an-hour wind.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, we won't complain anymore. But we weren't complaining.
Wait, that wasn't Alaska or, you know, the Yukon or Canada. That was Donner Pass in California, just outside of Las Vegas there. But, you know, higher up you go, the more you get. I mean, and I came across that pass out of Idaho into Montana that one time, and the stop signs were like 14 feet tall,
yeah.
And they had a ruler on it all the way up the pole of the stop sign that was telling you how many feet. And I think it was like, what, 9 feet of snow right then that they had. And about 5 miles back, about 82 turns back, there was a nice ski resort there. It was, you know, Beautiful, beautiful place. Anyways, what's all that have to do with tonight? Nothing. It's just us having a good time together. Welcome. Glad to have you with us tonight. And, you know, we've been studying the righteousness of God. We've been studying the glory of God. We've been studying being with, alone with God or in the presence of God. And we're going to study that some more tonight. And glad to have you with us here. You know, today marked a very important day politically, because the courts came out and said there was, and they said it unanimously, that President Trump's name needed to stay on all the ballots. Unanimously. That means all the justices said the same thing. And that's what you and I have been praying here now for probably 2 years. We've been praying that. Yeah, I can dig some more. Thank you. And that's a very powerful statement, that all of the justices looked at it and said his name should stay on the ballot. And it's just wrong. If you're a political opponent trying to use, you know, trickery to get you off the ballot so you don't get to vote. I like what President Trump said after the Supreme Court made its ruling. He came out and was talking, and he just said, the people will decide whether or not that the name should have been on the ballot. Let them vote. And that's what's scaring them. The people are going to vote, and that's a wonderful thing. God bless President Trump. He'll be faithful. May he be bold. May he put the fear of God in our enemies. And we speak that now in Jesus' mighty name. So we got Brother Scott and Braden over there on YouTube. Brother Roger's with us tonight. Sister Phyllis is with us here on Zoom. Got our friends with us over here on Blog Talk Radio. It's just another good night here at Community of Faith. Want to update you on a good word about my mom. Her book's gone to the, I don't know what the phrase is she's called, but she sent the manuscript. They sent it back. She did a bunch more and put all the introduction and all the ending and all the stuff you have to have. She did all of that. And then they sent her a cover, and so she sent that back and chose what that is. And now, you know, I think they got one more time they send something to her, and then it'll be in production. So my prayer has been that by Easter we'll have the book. Now we're running out of time, because that's only 25 days away, but this is what we know, that God Almighty does mighty things. And the reality is, every day, once that book's out, we're going to be able to put it everywhere. And I encourage you to get the book. It's one of those that you want to have. And I'm trying to decide where we can go to have a book signing. And maybe we'll just have a big event at Mom's house, and if you can make it, good. If not, we'll just sign a bunch of books, you know. And it's going to be a blessing to many people. We call the people to the kingdom of God from this writing, from these years of prayer, obeying the Spirit of God. We call it in Jesus' mighty name, amen. For those of you that's been with us, you've been hearing about that. And it'll be a blessing to you. Jesus' mighty name. Well, let's see. What else we got to talk about? Anything important? I don't think so. I think it's time to just get started in the Word. As you can see, I'm home today. And I might even be home tomorrow night. We just... thank you for being here and being a part of what we're doing. Thank you for continually praying. I'm asking you this every time. pray for God's blessing and help. Pray for that. Pray for wisdom, because I enjoy doing these programs. I enjoy the Holy Spirit flowing through me and teaching us all how to move up to the next level in Him. I love it. But we always want to be on the cutting edge. And so just pray for us, Lord, help us be on the cutting edge of everything that we're doing. And it'll be a blessing to many people in Jesus' mighty name. All right. Here we go. Somebody take a look. That was about 12 minutes. So if you want to go to the comments afterwards and put a timestamp in, that is always a blessing to us, where the program actually starts. I'm going to put it about 12 minutes. That way we can go and be a part of that. Jesus' mighty name. That way you can go right to it. You know, I better say one more thing. I've been talking a lot about what to do if you miss the rapture. At first, people were very alarmed when I said that. I think we've come to the revelation of, wait a minute, this is a serious issue. There's going to be a lot of people who miss the rapture. And they didn't want to miss the rapture. They love God, and they want to do good and do right. But just because you love God and you want to do right doesn't make you a child of God. You actually need to receive the work that Jesus did. You actually need to pray the prayer of salvation. And I think it's very, very interesting as I get replies from people. You can tell people are very serious about this. Time is short. Time is short. It is time for us to be aware of what we're doing and to chase God like we've never chased Him before. I have noticed, I said I was going to get started at 12 minutes, but maybe I'm started. I had a friend text me the other night, or not text me, she made a post. One of the Gold Star Wives made a post on her Facebook page, how she felt like she was just getting distant from God. But this morning, before our morning program on the rebuilding the walls of righteousness, where we're praying for the nation and for the church, for each other, we played a video of Charles Capps about faith-filled words, confessions. And then we played a video from Brother Dutch Sheets. I would like to send those two videos to you because they worked so amazingly together. That's very interesting. Here we go. All right. Let's just let the Holy Spirit lead. You want to? I would like to just show you the two videos right now myself and let these mighty men of God do their talking. But I'll share it with you. There is, in the world of aeronautics, there is the process called lift. An airplane, in order to defy the law of gravity, there's people that believe in flat Earth. There is no gravity. It's fine by me. I don't have a problem. You got your science and everything. So say this with me. Whatever it takes to get that plane off the ground. So you can call it whatever you want. But please follow me. The only way that airplane that weighs, who knows, 50,000 pounds, 20,000, depending on the size of the airplane, a little Cessna 182, that's probably, you know, that's probably a 10,000-pound plane. The only way to get that plane to come up off the ground is for that engine and the blade on the front to get moving and blow wind and move that plane down that runway up to 75, 80 miles an hour. Once it hits 80 miles an hour, it creates what's called lift. Now, he explains on this video lift. When the wind, the air, the movement of the air goes over the wing, it creates lift under the wing. Creates a pocket underneath that wing that the distance over the wing is more than the distance under the wing. For all of you people that are flying like this guy don't know a word he's talking about right now. There's a process called lift. But it was interesting because he made this statement. Good evening, Richard Miller, Audrey Van Gessel. Good evening. Good to have you with us. Now watch this. He said, you can sit and look out the window of that plane and look at the wing. You can't see lift, right? He said, because he was a farmer and he had a twin engine plane. So it was a, you know, it was like a six seat or whatever. And it was him and his wife many times. And he flew his plane right up to his house and landed and flew up to his house. I mean, that's hallelujah for having an airport at your house. Amen.
Amen.
But he would say, I could look at Peggy over on the other side and say, do you see any lift on that wing? And she would say, no. But what he had is what it takes to create the lift. Right? Mm-hmm. He had an engine with a propeller. He had a throttle that would control the propeller. The more throttle he gave it, the faster the propeller spins, the more the airplane goes down the runway. The next thing you know, the lift process is created. It picks you up. Now, he said his airplane could fly about 250 knots. And he said once you get it up in the air at that certain altitude, you can trim that throttle back to three-quarters throttle, and you're still flying right along 225 knots. Now, watch this. I'm going to make a really good spiritual correlation here because he made it. And he said, as long as you keep that throttle and that propeller spinning above 100 knots, you're not going to go as fast, but you're still going to go. Right? So he said, I was praying the other day and just said, Lord, things just don't seem to be happening like they used to. And he said, God said to him, you turned your prop back. He's like, what? You turned your prop back. I'm like, what does that mean? He said, you backed off the power on your prop. He said, you're still using your prop. And he says, what's that mean? He said, you've been really good at making faith confessions. And when everything was going, you made faith confessions every day, all day long. But he said, recently you've been really busy. So you backed off the confession. He said, you didn't stop flying. The prop's still going. But you're not moving with the great ease that you were. Because you got to get some more throttle to it. I'm like, man, that's a really good statement.
Really good.
Because if you stop your confession altogether, confession of the word of God is what makes the word of God pass in your life. You can, excuse me, you can carry this Bible around with you every day. I carry my Bible everywhere I go. All right? But just carrying that Bible doesn't make it work. You ever notice that?
Right.
Doctor, Dr. Barclay's got a Bible, a Mark T. Barclay Bible. Brother Copeland's got the Kenneth Copeland highlighted New Testament Bible, where the whole New Testament's highlighted. You see all of his notes. John Hagee's got a Bible. Rod Parsley's got a Bible. You know, everybody's got a Bible. But, and that's cool because what they've done, people that follow them, he took his Bible and then just gave them all the notes that's in the Bible. And I don't know, I think it'd be fun to do with my Bible sometime. But there's a couple pages that there's so many notes, you might not be able to read the words. Why? That's an important page. You see, carrying this Bible around, carrying the Bible doesn't make the Bible come alive. You actually got to open up the pages, and you got to speak the word that's on the pages, and you've got to learn how to speak the word in specific lines and specific patterns that create a doctrinal understanding. And the more you do it, the higher your faith level goes. And the less you do it, the lower your faith level comes. I would encourage any of you who might say, man, there's been times in my life I was on a more cutting edge place than where I am right now in my faith. I feel like I'm working extremely hard to get very little done. Well, I would encourage you, stop your day. Just stop where you're at and say, hold it. Life, hold it. Stop. I'm changing everything. I'm going back to the presence of God. I'm going back to the Word of God. I'm going to get my confessions back out. And I'm not going to start a day without it. Now, wait a minute. That's a bold declaration that you're getting ready to make. But I got a word for you. Aren't you glad that the pilot in the last jet you flew in didn't give up his leg book? I forget what they call it.
Oh, yeah.
They strapped that book right on their leg. And it's a checklist. And they open the first page and you know, flaps check, wheels check. It's going to have 10,000 things on it. But, you know, so the first mate's talking to the pilot and they're checking. And they're going through that checklist, and they strap that thing right on their leg. Aren't you glad the pilot wasn't lazy that day and said, oh, I've done checklists before. It's not important today. Now, I'm going to tell you, my last flight, when I was flying back from California last year, being with my kids, my flight that left Denver, we didn't get up off the ground, and the pilot said, going to be a lot of lightning on this trip tonight. Like, whoa. And he said, we're going to do our best to fly around it. And we'll probably see the most lightning when we land in Williston. And you know, that guy knew what he was talking about. I have been on a jet, not a lot. I've never seen a lightning storm in the sky like that. And I'm going to tell you now, we saw some lightning. I guarantee you, I'm glad that man didn't give up his confession for the day.
Oh,
and yet you and I are leading our Christian lives and leading our families. And the cares of the world, don't freak out about it. Jesus told us this would be the case. The cares of this world, we're going to do their best to stop you from being in the Word. Don't let it happen. But wait, I'm going to tell you, every single one of us are going to stand at a point and say, hold it, hold it. Put the brakes on. I'm going back into this Word. And are the cares of the world still there? Oh, yeah. They're still there. But they're going to get put in the right spot.
Amen.
You're going to line up behind the Word of God because the Word of God is going to direct my heart and lead me every day. Now, Here's what's amazing. I'm watching people don't go to church, don't have tithing down, don't have a bunch of things in the spiritual life down. But you know what they have? They have the Word of God down. They got it down that I'm going to read the Word of God every single day, and I'm going to live in and live on and live by the Word of Almighty God. And I'm going to tell you, His Word is able to make you stand. His Word is able to make you stand. And so we're going to just deal with that again tonight. All right? Just, I got the same notes I had the other night. Have you ever felt like you just weren't getting it? Ever felt like that? Yeah. I have too. And, you know, what an interesting correlation between lift and thrust and the walk of faith. So, you ready? Let's open up our Bible. That first part was all free. It's all free every night. It's just what the old preacher said. I won't charge you for that. And it's not like they were charging you anything anyways. So let's just go there. Let's just go to the basis of faith. And tonight I got a title of The Glory of God is the Righteousness of God. All right? Now, we're going to get there. Did I tell you where to go?
No.
All right. Romans chapter 3. Roman, that's my old cat. Roman. Roman is Roman, all right?
Don't wake him up.
He'll come a-howling. All right, hold on. Let me get my YouTube so I can see our brother's comments here. Hang on just a second. Turned on YouTube, and my goodness sakes alive, there's all kinds of... There we go. I can see you guys now. All right. Got YouTube up. Romans 3, and let's go to verse 21 to 26. And let's do 21 to 31. Romans 3, 21 to 31. And then we're probably going to go to Romans chapter 10, and we're going to go to a couple other places. But most of all, let's start right here.
Hey, Richard.
Do you have the confession up?
Yes, the confession.
Actually, I got it.
All right.
Thank you, Father. We receive right now someone in the back room putting up all of our stuff that we need to see.
Amen.
We receive it now in the mighty name of Jesus. Here we go. Hold your Bible up. Let's make our confession together. Everybody say this right out loud with me. This is my Bible. I believe what God's Word says. I am what Jesus says I am. I go because he is the great I am. I go do what he tells me to do. The Holy Spirit of God, my resident teacher, is making his word come alive in my life tonight. I receive the word of God and plant him as a seed in the good soil of my heart, producing 100-fold return and more in my spirit, soul, and body in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. And amen. Stop the share. And we'll come back there. All right. Here we go. Romans chapter 3. The glory of God is the righteousness of God. Interesting statement, isn't it? Have you received the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness? Because that is what produces the glory of God in your life. Hold on. I got a screen that's out of order. There we go. I got it. Aren't you glad? Do you feel better?
I do.
See, I kind of went in like David at Goliath. I took right over. It's my pastor. I got it right here. No glory, no giant, no... Wait. Are you kidding me? I actually forgot what it was.
Doesn't it say it right there?
No, I pulled it up and it's not there. It's on the cup, but you could go look if you wanted to, if it was really affecting us, but we don't know what it says.
I will, because I can tell.
Here we go. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Oh, yeah, there you go. No giant, no champion. Yeah. Thank you, Pastor. That's awesome. I like my Mark Barkley ministry cup. All right. I'm in Romans chapter 3. We're talking about the glory of God is the righteousness of God. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, what in the world has that got to do with everything we've been talking about so far? Let's just get into it. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, I like this, to all and on all who believe. Say this with me. I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer. And it's to all and through all who believe. Are you not the co-host?
No,
that's always, always has to be reminded of me, because I can't seem to miss it. There we go. I'm still in verse 22, Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all. And on all who believe, for there is no difference. Interesting. 23. For all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. When you sin, you fall short of the glory. So what's the glory? Righteousness. Because when you're righteous, you're not falling short. The righteousness of God is the glory of God. What do we say about Adam and Eve? In the garden, they were clothed in the glory of God. They didn't even know they were naked. That's what the Bible says. Why? They were clothed in the glory of God. All this clothing that we have is not even designed by God. It's because man sinned. His glory, you would never know the difference. Now, the Bible says, for all you nudist people, that we got to have the robe of righteousness and the garment of salvation. So, you hear him say, well, I'm just going back to the glory of God. No, you're going to be naked, and that's out of order. 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. However, don't stop at that statement, because that's not a period. That's a comma at the end of that. Look at what the next one says.
He doesn't have periods.
Paul does not use periods often, no. I was making a post today, and I text, and I was using the talk text, and I said the word period as in a time period, and it put a period there and gave two space and capitalized it of. I'm like, what is wrong with this thing? Then I realized it was just putting the period in where I said the word period. 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, for Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. I can't tell. Is that a comma too? It is a comma, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Say this with me. I have faith in Jesus.
I receive the righteousness of God. I receive the righteousness of God.
See, the glory of God is the righteousness of God. And righteousness is a free gift. Righteousness is a free gift. Don't you like free gifts?
Yeah, amen.
I do. I like the story that I don't remember who it was, John G. Lake or Smith Wigglesworth or Howard Carter, one of those guys that was living over in England. One of them was visiting one of the ladies of a church where he was having a meeting. And he said the lady was a wonderful lady, just a beautiful servant of God. Very loving, very caring. But he said, man, I got to her house and it was like, whoo, living in poverty. And he thought it's really interesting that a lady who is such a servant like this would live in such abject poverty. But he said she had an interesting house with interesting writings on the wall and plaques and pictures. And it was obvious that she had worked for the Queen of England. That's interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
She had an award from the Queen as one of the main assistants in the house. And so the minister asked the lady about it. She said, oh, yeah, I served the Queen and I was this there at the palace. And she said, and when I left, she was so kind and wrote this wonderful plaque and handed this to me. And I just one of my keepsakes. I keep it there. I read it regularly. And the man said, ma'am, do you mind if I take that and study that? And she's like, well, you know, I don't know. Why you want? He said, I'd like to take that and study that. And he took it home and took it out of the glass. And on the back, the lady was a multimillionaire by the Queen. And he brought it back to her the next day and said, ma'am, you don't realize what you have on this wall. The Queen, because of your service to her, made you a multimillionaire. Now, guys, if we show, you see if I can get these words to come out together, all right? If we show, Hallelujah. If we fall short of the glory because we don't understand righteousness, it's no different than the lady living in abject poverty when on her wall was a plaque that made her a multimillionaire. Literally, these words on this page make you and I an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Have you thought about, go ahead, Holy Spirit, just move. Let's have a Holy Ghost blowout tonight. Hallelujah. Anybody ready for a Holy Ghost blowout tonight? I'm ready. Glory be to God. Sister Sunday, welcome. Good to have you here. Scott and Braden and Richard and Roger. Got the whole crew over there tonight. See, look. Look at verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, you and I don't want to be those who not only have fallen short, but who remain short. We don't want that. And according to the word of God, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We're going to read that verse next. I love these verses. I think the first time I heard somebody preach it that really helped me see verse 23, I believe it was Dr. Sutton. Could have been Dr. Barkley. Might have been George Evans. Could have even been Roy Hicks. Thank God for the spiritual leaders in my life. Being justified just as if I never sinned, freely by his grace through the redemption, you've been bought back, that's in Christ Jesus. Think about this. As soon as you and I receive the free gift of righteousness, all of the effect of the blood of Jesus begins to work in our lives, all of it. You don't deserve it because you sinned. You don't deserve it because you've done wrong. I've done wrong. All have sinned. But the most amazing thing about our God is, well, let's just read it. I was going to just refer to it, but we might as well just read it. You want to do it?
Sure.
Let's go to, I don't know the verse, but that's all right. Let's go to the story on the cross. Let's go to Luke 23. Verse 32. Luke, wow, 23:32, double-double. Luke 23:32, watch this. There were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right-hand side and the other on the left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots for him. You don't do that with a beggar's robe.
Right?
Right. 35. And the people stood looking on. Even the rulers with them sneered, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he's the Christ, the chosen of God, what they didn't realize is Jesus was looking at him saying, know in the matter of a few minutes, it's going to all be over. And your redemption is based on me on this tree. The soldiers mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine. You're the king of the Jews, save yourself. An inscription was also written over him in letters of the, in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. Now don't miss this next part. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. You notice that the devil's language is always begins with the word if. Powerful statement, isn't it? Remember what he said to Jesus in the wilderness? You are the Son of God. I love it. Watch this. Verse 40. The other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? I mean, the other, where's this guy? The other one saying, dude, you're about to die. We've got the Christ hanging between us, and you're mocking him. Do you have no fear? Now watch this. 41. We indeed justly, the condemnation. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He wasn't talking about the king on this earth. And Jesus said to him, assuredly. Remember, they're all pinned to the post. They can't get off. Assuredly, I say to you, Mr. Thief, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, I want you to notice something. I think that you should write right there by this Romans 3:23 through, how far did we go? 26. And I think you should go back over to Romans 3:23 through 26 and write in Luke 23:43. I love it. Because here's the reality. That thief was able to enter into heaven that day. Now, you know, in the Old Testament, they went to paradise, which was Abraham's bosom. And something about Abraham's bosom, Moses and Elijah was able to come out and be with Jesus, so there's a real revelation in there about that. We're not studying that tonight. But that thief didn't get to go to church. He didn't memorize a Bible verse. He didn't get baptized. He didn't get anointed with oil. He's on the cross. Jesus is on the cross. Jesus didn't look at him and say, well, I'd like to lay my hands on you and anoint you with oil before you die, but it's too late. You're done. You're going to hell. He didn't say it to him. Jesus just said, just word. He said his word. Today, you will be with me in paradise. So what is this whole thing about? This whole thing is about, by faith, that thief received the work that Jesus did, the righteousness, and it was imputed to him immediately. And when he died, he met with Jesus in paradise that day. Can you imagine when that thief hit paradise? And the other thief hit hell? See, the rich man and the Lazarus, the rich man understood hell was there. He was in torment and said to Abraham, can you please send someone to get me out of this torment, give me a drink of water. And Abraham said, no, you had your deal in your day. You don't get anything now. And hanging on that cross, that thief that day had the same opportunity as the other one to say, Jesus, have mercy on me also. And he went to hell sneering Jesus. Interesting thought, isn't it? One out of two went to heaven, 50%. Two, one will be taken, the other left, 50%. Five wise, five foolish, 50%. Interesting set of percentages that we're looking at, isn't it? Now, so we know that as soon as we receive the righteousness of God, entrance is given unto us in heaven. So let's just check out your Christian life and see how you're doing. One of the greatest things you and I ever have to do is to just say, stop life. I'm gonna take an inventory and see where I'm at. The glory of God is the righteousness of God. We just saw it. Have you ever felt like you just were missing getting done what you really wanted to get done and you weren't getting it? Remember this once you're born again. You are made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So from that moment on, your language and mine has got to change, and we got to say, no, wait a minute. I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I may not understand it, but I know I've been made into it. I haven't seen Brother John today. Oh, he got a new job today. Yeah. Brother John, if you're with us, we love you. Now watch, let's go to Romans 10. Righteousness of God comes to you by a spoken word in faith. There's Holy Spirit in here tonight, I'm telling you right now. My tongue's having trouble keeping up with where my spirit's trying to get to. One person said, watch out, that could be a long road. The thief, how did he get born again? He didn't walk an aisle. Say again?
He received Jesus.
He couldn't do anything. He's nailed to the cross. Only thing he could do is speak a word. Jesus. I mean, I suppose he could probably turn his head and look at him. Their heads were still able to move, right? Yeah. He probably looked at Jesus and said, this day, remember me. And Jesus, can you imagine the feeling of joy and glory that must have overcame that man? Dying on that cross, probably the vile cursing coming off of the man on the other side as he died and as his life left him. And yet Jesus and this thief are dying in peace. And, you know, they watch Jesus hang his head and say, it's finished. That seems like, I wonder if that worked for me. It's finished. But all it was words. The importance of our words. Now let's read this. I'm in Romans 10, 6. Is that what I gave you? Romans 10, 6 through 17. Verse 6. The righteousness of faith speaks in this way. So righteousness comes by faith, and this is what it sounds like. Learn this. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, although I asked Jesus to show up and to me all the time. I would love to have Jesus show up in the room and talk to me like you hear some of these people say. However, I'm not going to be like Thomas and have Jesus say, show up and say, put your hands in my hands and your fingers in my side. And Samuel, blessed is he who believes and doesn't see. But at least I'm here to show you so you will believe. I don't want that either. Amen?
Amen.
I just want the glory of God in my life.
Yeah.
Slip your hands and say, Father, show me your glory. Show me your glory like I've never understood it before. In Jesus' name. Wait, don't stop there. Say, I'll chase your presence like I'm supposed to. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Get it, Richard, man. That's good. The righteousness doesn't say, I got to bring Christ down or I got to go down and bring him up from the dead. Verse 8. What does it say? This is faith. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. What is it? It's the word of faith, which we preach, and here it is, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's why our prayer of salvation has in it, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you raised from the dead just for me. That's why we say that, this verse right here. Because it says, you're going to believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. So that's what we're going to get you to say every time we pray the prayer of salvation. Why? Because I don't want you to be here all these years and then miss the rapture. And we get to heaven and say, where's brother? I won't say anybody's name. I don't want you to be offended at me. Where's brother Healy Lilio? He just never got saved. That ain't cool, Pastor. Keep reading. 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him, what's believe on him? You believe in your heart, you speak with your mouth. Whoever does that will not be put to shame. Say this with me. Point your finger and say, shame, get out of my life.
Shame, yes.
I sent it into my house. Let me grab that back and point out the closest window and say, get out of my life. Get out of my life. You don't get to stay. You don't get to stay. God said it. Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there's no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth. So you're going to believe in here, and then you got to speak with your mouth for this to be, it's like voice activated. You ever walked up to something that's voice activated? You know, your phone is voice activated now. I said something the other day. I think I was talking with Brother Dan on the phone, and I said the word seriously. And when I said the word seriously, Siri opened up and said, may I help you? I'm like, just shut up, Siri. My goodness sakes alive. I didn't say serially. I said serious. Anyway, I'm over it. I don't sound like I'm over it, but I am over it. Think about it. With the mouth, confession is made to salvation. You've got to open your mouth and say something. Sometimes this sounds like a broken record, where we just keep saying this. But the reality is that this word is voice activated. And the more you speak it, the more clarity will come to you about the ways and the nature of God. And the more clarity you get, and the more you speak it, then all of a sudden you begin to get a revelation of who God and Jesus really is. And it changes everything about your life. Look at verse 17. Well, no, let's go through it. Verse 14 now. How are we doing for time? Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us today. Take what God said and receive freedom. Yeah, amen. Have you ever looked up the peanut thing I told you about?
What's the peanut thing?
I don't remember that, Scott. Give me a few more words. I forgot to tell Scott's story here.
Well, you'll have to tell it because it makes me sad. Oh, yeah, you did tell it, didn't you?
I did it on the morning show. It's our son, Scott. Well, how you say that, right? But I just said it, Scott. I know I'm not your dad, but anyways. The grandson.
We claim you.
We claim you. There you go. Scott, he's on here tonight.
With Braden.
Braden's dad. Yeah, there. Now you're known by something. Braden's dad. Oh, yeah. Patrol. Oh. But yeah. Yeah. I did not look it up. Yeah. I looked up a lot of things, Scott, but I just didn't look that one up. But anyways, the other day, Scott was feeling down and had a bunch of stuff coming at him. And he went out and got in his truck and was going to go hang out with some friends. And he put on what he called some loud, angry music. You ever been there? Yeah. We've all been there. This is a cool story. And he's driving down the road, and the music changes on the radio. And the song comes on that is an encouraging word from God that you're going to make it, and everything's going to be all right. And he said, I looked over at the radio, and it still said the other option. The loud screaming guy. But the music that was coming out of the radio was a song from God that was encouraging him he was going to make it. And even though his radio was tuned to the station that played the other music, God spoke through that radio to him that everything was going to be all right. Now, I don't know if you've ever had one of them situations happen to you like that before, but I'm going to tell you something. When it does happen, it gives you a great revelation of who God Almighty is. Mm-hmm. Why? Because God took your human natural thing and turned it and tuned it to a way that there's nothing you can do. You can't deny it. You can't deny what just happened. Scott gained great courage from that. And all of us should gain some courage from this.
Mm-hmm.
God knows where you and I are at. And he not only cares about you, he cares about the little things about you.
Yeah.
And he's going to follow you wherever you are. He knows where you are. And he's going to do things for you that you didn't even think to ask him to do. Can I tell you another story?
Yeah.
Got this one today from my sister. I started to read it, Sister Leanne, but I never got through it. All right. My sister Beth, when she married her husband, they have lived, it happens to everyone just as long as they listen to his words and listen to his answers in many different ways. Amen, Scott. That's awesome. High five, dude. That's awesome. Well, and God will take the smallest thing to show you if you let him.
Yeah.
All right, now I got two stories to tell. All of you have seen between a semi and a trailer, there's a spring that hangs down and holds up the light wire, and the two air hoses holds them up in the air so they don't drag and get caught on anything. So when the semi turns, you can still have your lights and your air. And it goes up and it catches on a hook up here on the back side of the cab, usually, or it might be on a headache rack. I have a headache rack or whatever they call that thing, or a load rack. And I got a hook there, and it's just got a big hook over it. And then it hangs on that spring. I got a bungee strap on it, so it keeps my cord up, all right? And the other day, there's about 6 inches. It wasn't the other day. It's been probably a month. One of the snowstorms we had, I was hooking up my trailer. And so I had to take that stuff off. And when I did, I put some brake line antifreeze down in my hose so it would fill the chassis airlines with brake line antifreeze and it wouldn't freeze up. Because once it gets cold, you have a tendency to get some moisture and freeze up. So that's what I did. But I had to unhook that hook from off the top, lay the hose down so that I could pour some brake line antifreeze down in there. And if the hose is going up, you can't pour it up, so you have to drop the hose down till you hook it up, and then you can put it back up. Well, when I picked it back up, the hook was gone. The hook was gone. And I'm like, where's the hook? I'm like, I don't care where the hook is. I'm not going to be delayed. I just took my bungee strap and strapped it back up and took off. So I pulled the semi forward far enough to be able to see where it dropped through. Didn't find it at all. You're like, whatever. I'll buy another one. And what's it going to cost? 50 cents, a dollar? I wasn't too upset, but I sound like it now.
You'll be all right.
And I drove. Listen, now, I was full of fuel. I drove all day that day, and just before dark, or just at daylight, I bought more fuel. And I walked around to the passenger, to the ditch side of the truck, and there's that hook laying on the frame of the semi. Now, I had driven 250, 400 miles, who knows?
Down rough roads,
washboard, everything. And that thing, you can't tell me that thing was sitting there the whole time. The angel just said, watch this. We got it, bam, there it was. God, like Scott just said, it happens to everyone as long as they listen to his words and listens for his answer in many different ways. Look at Braden the other night. God took Braden to heaven in a dream and said, you're going to do mighty works for me. This is God talking in the Scott Sherrill household to dad and to son. Somebody. Yeah, there you go. It should have fallen off. Brother Richard knows it should have fallen off. There's no way that sat there. And when you look at it, you just know that's God. Here comes the stories. But we might as well tell them, right? And I got to tell you Beth's story, because Beth's story actually really amazing, like Scott's. I'm up here at the truck stop one night waiting for a load, and I'd fallen asleep. And so when I fall asleep and sleep for an hour or two, I like to get out and walk around the truck, make sure nobody's playing a joke on me, and did something. So I kick all my tires, make sure everything's checked out. I kicked a tire on the truck, and it's off the rim. I'm like, middle of the night, off the rim? Are you serious? And I hear these guys talk about all the time spraying a little ether in there, lighting a match to it, and it blows the tire back on the rim. And so I've got air hose in my truck that I can hook onto the Glandan, and it gives me an air hose to fill up the tire. And so I'm like, well, isn't that just a fine howdy-do, you know? But I better get busy and quit worrying because I'm on duty and I could get a load any minute. So I can. There's a light right here, but I need to back up to get under that light so I can see. And I'm like, come on, angels of the Lord, help this tire go back on. I'm thinking, but I'm actually pretty excited because for the first time in my life, I'm going to spray ether, light it, and watch it go boom, and then I got air, you know? And this is serious as can be. I got all my stuff out, got it all ready, except I couldn't unhook the hose yet because I had to back up. I backed the truck up, pulled the air brake on, pulled the trailer brake on, and I got out, and that tire was back on the rim.
Second time it's gone back on for you.
The tire was back on the rim. And I thought, well, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. It's probably good I didn't do something that went boom, you know. But it went back on the rim. Now, that wasn't me. That was the angels of God. I just hooked my air hose on, blew the tire up, and, you know, aired the tire back up, and off we went. Interesting. It's just God. Now, my sister's story. And we've all got these stories. We've all got them. Don't fail reminding yourself of the good things of God. Bill Johnson literally has a member of his staff who their job is to remind them of all the good things God has done. That's an interesting job. I've never heard anybody before who had somebody hired to remind them of what God has done. They said, no fire, but the Holy Ghost fire. Amen. And the Holy Ghost fire don't stop. Ain't no fire like a Holy Ghost fire, and the Holy Ghost fire don't stop. Anyway, so my sister puts this message up today on Facebook, our family. And my sister lived in the community where my mom grew up, and my grandpa had his church for 30 years. My Uncle Phil lived right next to Grandpa. Uncle Phil is a very, very highly decorated Marine Corps veteran from Vietnam. And when he returned from Vietnam, worked in the factory. When Grandpa passed, Uncle Phil took the church and he pastored it for 30 years. Since that period of time, that was 60 years in the family. Since that period of time, my brother Joe pastored there. And now my nephew, Brian, which is my sister Beth's son, is pastoring the church that Grandpa started, all right? So Brian calls his mom and says, you need to be at our church tonight for the Singspiration. Mr. Cooper, a fellow preacher a little ways over, has asked for you to be there. My sister's like, well, isn't that interesting? Beth and Brian have been led by God to join the Salvation Army, which is a church about 30 miles away, 20 miles away. So she goes to the church that night. And when it's all done, Brian says, go ahead, Brother Cooper, what do you got? And he asked, this pastor asked my sister to come to the platform. Well, Mr. Cooper is a pack rat. Wait, Mr. Cooper is a flea market guy, all right? And there's nothing wrong with flea market guys. They're good guys. They've got the coolest things you've ever seen. And non-flea market guys have empty walls and nothing out in the garage that's cool. Anyway, he starts telling the story. He said, I never knew your grandpa. But he said, I know your mom and dad, my mom and dad, very well, and they really helped my wife and I in the ministry. And he said, this week, I was up in the attic or somewhere looking for something, and I found this little box. And he said, I never really opened it, probably except the day I bought it at the flea market. And he said, I thought, well, isn't that interesting? So he said, I brought it down with me and thought, well, I'm under, you know, I remember it's a camera, and he didn't know. And he gets the box down, and he opens it up. Wait just a second. Let me pull this up. He opens it up, and there is this camera. Can you see that's a camera?
Uh-huh.
Now that is an old, a really old camera. He opens up the box. Now watch this. I'm going to read it. He was looking for something else and stumbled across the box and read a signature on the side of the box that said, Reverend Walter Bongard. That's my grandpa. That's my mom's dad. When he opened the box and lifted out an old-fashioned camera, the instruction booklet on the inside said, Ruth Bongard, written on it. That's my mom. And he bought this years and years and years ago at a flea market. Then he gave the box to me and said he wanted to return it to our family. Mom said she remembered taking pictures with the camera. She said that Grandpa had given her the camera when she was still in school.
Wow.
This was the camera that took all the early pictures of us kids when we were small. Now, if you don't think God will do something to prove himself to you, now listen, that they put that on the thing with all the family. We got like 90 of us in that little private room. And there's some grandchildren that really are struggling with what faith is all about and why we believe what we believe. But how do you read that and then not say, wait a minute, there's a real God? I mean, when my mom was in school, my mom is what, 85?
Mm-hmm.
My mom's 85, and being in school was 65 years ago. No, no, it's longer than that, 70
yeah.
years ago. And God told Mr. Cooper to buy that camera however many years ago and keep it in all of his stuff and then find it now and then hand it to my sister and say, look what Scott said. God is the most important thing in everybody's life. Use the blessing of the world is the blessing of the God. Jesus also died first on the cross. Hey, man. Amen to you too, Scott. Now, where are we at and what are we doing? Does anybody even know what verse I'm on?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. What's important about this word tonight, remember this process. Everybody make sure you write down these verses. Get a piece of paper. Get your notebook out. This is the very bottom line foundation of all of your faith in the kingdom of God. The word of faith speaks in this way, that you believe in your heart and you speak with your mouth. This is how this thing works. The kingdom of God is built on you exercising your faith by speaking words off of your mouth. At first, when you begin to say the Bible out loud, at first it might not make any sense. It just might not make any sense to you at all. But if you will continually listen to the verses Put them in a line. We'll teach you how to put them in a line continually. All of a sudden, when you put them all in a line from the different books and you speak them out loud as you read them, it begins to make sense on the inside of you, because it's the Spirit of God moving through the Word of God, witness, bringing a witness to your spirit man and building it up and charging it up in faith. And that's where we was at. We were going to read that. Let's read it. It's Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. Now watch how God deals with us. That was Braden that said that. That's awesome, Braden. Good job, buddy. My. Romans 10, open your Bible up, turn on your app, however you want to do it. Read this. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You can't make the confession to salvation if you've never believed. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Somebody's got to tell you about God, about Jesus. Somebody's got to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. That's what I'm doing right now. How shall they hear without a preacher? You got to have a preacher in your life. It's important to have a preacher in your life that's actually called by God, anointed by God to do the work of God, and actually appointed to the place where he's at. 15. How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. They've not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? Now, don't miss verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, spoken from a mouth of a preacher that was sent, so that you can hear and you can believe and you can call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And be saved. Think about this. You got to have a preacher. That's what I am. He's got to be sent. That's what God did with me. God's got to have his blessing on him and his ordination in him and on him. And in the day we live, it's more important now than ever before that you're not following a headless head. You need to have a pastor who has a pastor. That's a wonderful, one of the wonderful things about my life is I'm not just a pastor out here all on my own. I have a pastor. His name is Mark T. Barkley, and he's a great pastor and a mighty man of God. And therefore, not only am I shepherding you, but I'm being shepherded by my shepherd at the same time. And that being said, it brings such great safety and great clarity, because you and I, if we're not careful, man, we get focused on something, and if you're not careful, it'll squelch out the word. You'll get so focused on the cares of the world, you'll forget about the blessing of God he's trying to bring on you. Amen. Especially a pastor. Because as pastors, we spend all of our day in the word of God, doing our best to help you walk with God. And in that process, if we're not careful, in that process, we'll forget about having our own time and building our own spiritual Christian life. And building your own Christian life is of absolute importance. Now, where was I going? You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can be saved. You got that. You got to have a preacher. Thank God you have a preacher. Thank God you guys have come to receive. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing. Where was we going, Holy Spirit? I'm going to put my Bible back in front of me. We're going to one more spot. Where was it?
Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved and shall not be put to shame. I know what I was doing. I was doing this over here. Here we go. Let's just do this. Give me just a second. I got to find a document. Sister Leanne's going to sing while we're getting ready for this. Well, I just want you to know that when I say that to Sister Leanne about singing, the singing part of her life goes away very quickly. All right. It's probably the same thing as everybody else. We all love to sing, and we all do sing. And Sister Leanne has a beautiful voice, and she sings here in the house. But as soon as I say Sister Leanne's going to sing, it's as if all the songs disappear. Now,
not really stage fright, but sort of.
Yeah, it's not really stage fright, but it is a little bit. But let's look at something here. I want to do this. I'm looking for one of my verse lists so that I can share it with you, and we'll all just say it together. Just give me a little time. I've got a lot of verse lists, but I want to give you one. This is a good one. This is a good one. Ready? Let's just do this one. Just give me a second. I got to do a little tuning up work here. This was not being prepared. This has not been prepared to be public like this yet. There we go. Bold, plus, 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 plus. Let's get the words up there big enough we can see it. Oh, wow, there we go. this is interesting. Wow. This is a prayer of confession that we used to make at our church in West Branch. This is interesting. All right? And I'm going to show you, as you say this out loud, I want everybody to say it right out loud with me. I want you to watch how your heart begins to build faith as you say this. You ready? Everybody say this with me. We call on you, O God of Israel. You don't see it. If you guys would just open your eyes, you might be able to see it. Okay. It's me. How about now? Ready? Everybody say this with me. Say it right out loud at your house. We call on you, O God of Israel. Oh, that you would bless us indeed, enlarge our territory. I am like Judah. I will take that part of the land of promise over there too, because there are those and conquer their territory, so they need a place to live, and I will provide. That's what Judah did. We got to read that story sometime.
Yeah.
Keep your hand with us, that we will stay away from evil, so that we will not cause pain. We receive it done in Jesus' name. Every community, large or small, is supposed to have a pastor that leads them to faith. New creation. And now, Lord, look upon your enemy's threats, and grant to us your servants that we continually speak your word with all compassion and boldness. Everywhere we go, every chance we get, right on the spot. While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your Holy Son, Jesus. My, this is interesting, isn't it? I declare that all words that are being spoken against the ministry of Jesus Christ that we have been given stewardship for before the foundations of the world are null and have no effect. Now we pause. We say that right now over every ministry. Just like Mike Bickle's facing, we say it over every ministry that's facing it. We call you those condemning words null and have no effect. I'm not sure what that is meaning then. Let's try this. We are anointed and appointed before the foundation of the world to do good works, that we should walk in them. I cast down my own words I have spoken against myself. I cast them down through the prayer of the Holy Spirit and by praying in tongues, because the power of life and death is in my tongues. Prideful, confused, selfish, fruitless words and their harvest die now. I speak words of life every day. So when I stand before the Father and give an account of every idle word, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little things. Just my daily words and meditations, now be rulers over much of my kingdom. Wow. I know that the words I am saying, especially the words I don't even mean to be saying, have an effect on every facet of my life. Foolish, selfish words die now. Wow. We were getting rid of some words, weren't we? I know that me and my ministry are reaping and enjoying the fruits of my words now. Say it. I have a ministry. Yes, you do. We declare that your enemies are confounded, and we say this in Jesus' name. Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe, and we believe. Shout it. I believe. As a Christian believer, I am an ambassador of the cross. I fight a good warfare. My faith is increased every time I hear the word. Revelation blessings. He who overcomes receives the crown of life, and I am over. I walk by faith and not by sight. I am quick to purge my conscience of dead words and works. I always trust in the Lord, and I lean on His understanding. The eyes of my heart are enlightened. They have been since I surrendered to the plan of God for my life. And I know what is the hope of His calling. I have my senses trained to do good, to discern good and evil. I am a mature Christian believer, and I can handle solid food along with the milk of the word. I am an imitator of God. Therefore, I walk in love. I implement all of the armor of God. Therefore, I resist evil and stand firm every day. As a believer, my greatest weapon is the word of God spoken in faith. I wield this weapon accurately. I know the power of life and death is in my tongue, and I am eating the fruit of it.
Did Siri write that?
Siri wrote something really, 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 really weird right there. All right. God didn't, oh, there it is, the sign of the covenant. It's amazing. What's interesting is I read this, and there's no way I wrote what that just said. God didn't want the sign of his covenant to be a scar visible on the skin, so he made it the circumcision of the heart. The sign of my covenant is his abundant blessing on my life, so all the world will see blessing and fear the Lord because of us, just like our father Abraham. Wow, we haven't taught that in a while, have we? I declare that in the time of trouble, we the faithful are receiving a double portion, and all those around me will know that we are the children of God. Now, look at this. 2 Chronicles 20:20. We believe in the Lord and are established. We believe his prophet and we prosper now. Goodness sakes. We prayed this prayer. Wow. With the power vested in me by the Lord Jesus as an ambassador of the cross and a child of the King, serving as a minister of reconciliation, I publicly loose the opportunity to have gainful employment, earn abundant finances, and have lasting wealth-producing ideas over my family, over this area, and over our entire state. Wow. Goodness sakes alive. Wait a minute. Look at this prayer. Wow. Man, I haven't said this confession in a long time.
Yeah,
I declare the Muslim community. Have Jehovah God sent ideas that revolutionize the world, and they realize the ideas originated from Jehovah God. Therefore, Holy Ghost revival breaks loose in the greater Detroit Muslim community. Wow.
Isn't that something?
Well, let's go down here. This is awesome. Who wrote this? I did. Because I was listening to God. We declare Exodus 12:13. And the blood shall be a sign to you upon the houses where you are. God's house. Your house. Governor Rick Snyder. That was a long time ago. The House of Representatives. The Senate. The Judicial Committees. And all other elected leaders for our state. Wow. I declare in the life and staff of every God-hating American and Muslim who is trying to gain a political office to destroy America and our Constitution, that mass confusion jealousy, anger, and then hatred happens toward each other in all of that staff, and there's no way possible they can continue a political process. I can hear Dr. Summerall. May your office fall apart. This is my nation. Change to be a God-fearing believer, or may the horror of the Lord chase you away. Wow. May every American-hating politician immediately lose any agreement because of jealousy and every evil work they cannot remain in their political office. We are God's nation, and our political process doesn't allow for treason. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you as a destruction. In Jesus' name, grace to Lansing, God's grace to Lansing and the United States of America. Wow. Now that said some stuff right there. I haven't read that in a very long time. However, that prayer was prayed 3 times a week in church, 10 years. Wow. Don't mind me, I'm just having a Selah moment. Mm-hmm. See, when you learn to put words together, the word of God together in an organized fashion, you can change whole atmospheres. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine the things we changed and held up in the state of Michigan while we were all praying those prayers? That is very interesting. You might say, Pastor, I don't know about all that, but I need a prayer for this. I've got a prayer for just about anything. And I can help you by getting some of them sent to you. So send me an email and say, hey, tell me one that means that talks about this. One I sent to Brother Roger a couple times is a prayer about healing verses. Or you can just live in those healing verses and receive healing in your body. And just get them out and say them. Say them and say them and say them. What are you doing? With the mouth, confession is made to salvation. And with the heart, you believe. The more you say it, the more it goes down in your heart. And the more opportunity you have to believe it. And the more it comes to you. Remember what we said at the very beginning. The prop on a plane, on an airplane, the jet engine on a jet, is what creates the thrust that creates the wind foil over the wing and provides lift that raises that into the sky. And, I mean, you get in that, what do they call that, black... the spy plane we have, that thing flew at 90,000 feet around the world. Couldn't even tell it was up there. Way beyond anybody's ability to catch it. And had some amazingly strong engines on it. And that thing could fly at Mach 2 or something. Incredible. Why? Because it's creating more lift. It's creating more thrust. Therefore, it creates more lift. And literally, it flew at 90,000 feet. I like how Dr. Winston says it. Adam and Eve could have flown in a jet. Because the law of lift and thrust was on this earth.
Yeah.
In the garden. And all that has to happen is you and I got to get a revelation of how to take this book, pull the words off the page, begin to get them in your life. Even Braden at his age can take the words off this page and begin to live in the power of it. And everywhere he goes, he can be a witness for God of the power and the things of God in Jesus' mighty name. Faith, confession, speaking the word out loud, is to faith what a prop is, a prop and an engine is to an airplane. It creates the thrust, which then provides the lift. Are you ready? And it gets you above all the concerns of this life. And if you haven't been flying lately, find you somebody at your local airport that's taking lessons and ask them if they can go up with them or something like that. Or just take some lessons yourself and enjoy it. And if none of this made any sense to you at all tonight, send me some questions and say, I totally missed you. And it's okay if you did, because we want to help you come to the revelation of who Jesus actually is. Amen? Now, we're getting ready to receive communion, but I always like to close our message with a word of prayer, a spoken word of confession. You ready? Just lift your hands with me and say this. Say, Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I don't want to just be a hearer of the word.
I don't just want to be a hearer of the word.
I choose to be a doer.
I choose to be a doer.
You can count on me to go do.
You can count on me to go do.
Show me how to do it.
Show me how to do it.
I receive it in Jesus' mighty name.
I receive it in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Rivers in the Desert YouTube channel has 3-hour video of scripture just speaking the word of delivery or healing. Play that and speak the word with him if you don't already know the scripture for such. That's good. That's good. That's good. And some of you, you might be like, I can read the Bible, but it don't mean a thing to me. Follow the Read the Word program. It's a very excellent way to go through the Bible. Start in Genesis and just follow it all the way through. It's just a matter of learning how to use a YouTube playlist, which is really cool playlist. Once you learn how to do a YouTube playlist, you'll create a playlist for everything that you want in your life. Because you can make it a playlist in your YouTube of the videos you like and keep it private and nobody even see it. Or you can make it public and help everybody find God and send it out there on your Facebook and Instagram and help people know God. And I've got a video about how to make a playlist, but I don't know where it's at. It's just on YouTube somewhere. But I'll find it and we'll get it up there so you can be a part of it. Because really, like Richard just said, this guy reads the Word of God on healing and deliverance. And puts the words right up on the screen, and you can do that. And the same thing with Read the Word. You start in Genesis, and we can help you read right through the Word. I read it out loud about 3 chapters every day. About half an hour every day, except every now and then it's 45 minutes. But it's a great way to go through the Word of God, and the anointing of God is truly on it. It'll be a blessing to you. Jesus, my God. Ready? Let's receive communion together. We're getting closer to receiving communion together. We're getting closer to receiving communion together. It's coming. Communion is a lot of fun when you receive it together. I just got to share my screen, and it was a few more clicks away than what I actually realized. So There we go. And now we're receiving communion together. Here's how this works. We're going to read the Word of God. And these are the communion verses that Jesus taught the Apostle Paul when he was in the wilderness with him. And then we'll pray the prayer of salvation. We'll give you a few minutes of instruction. And all of that is a blessing to you to help you know what this is all about. What a great night tonight. Holy Spirit, you are amazing. Here we go. Read these verses right out loud. The more you read them, the more they get down inside of you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, Jesus' redemptive work, until he comes. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. God's love is perfect. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear and its torment in Jesus' name. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. So today, be made perfect in him. Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Now you can notice that in that reading, there's no place in there that declares you have to be a member of a church. There's no place in there that says you can't receive communion right at your own house. There's no place in there that says you can't take communion all by yourself.
Amen.
But follow the instruction that Jesus gave. Get some bread and get some fruit of the vine and follow his instruction, because that's how it works. Here we go. Pray the prayer of salvation. These aren't just words to say, and now you're a member of a club. This is a prayer that you are actually receiving Jesus. You're actually receiving Jesus into your life. So pray this from the depth of your heart. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made come in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day for me. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I have been made a new creation in you, Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen and amen. And I say, welcome to the family of God. Think about it. And that one moment of prayer that takes about 2.5 minutes to pray, you literally went from being a mere earthling to a child of Almighty God in one prayer. When you said, I receive all of your grace and mercy, he gave it to you. When you said, I receive all of your blood and righteousness, he gave it to you. And when you look at this, I actually got words here I'm supposed to be saying. Here's the salvation instructions. Darkness just turned to light because Jesus, the light of the world, comes to live in you. Fear just turned to faith because Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. You are made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are. Just happened. And you've become an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. All of that just happened in that prayer. Take your phone, take a screenshot of what I just said right there. You can see it. Take a screenshot and you can meditate in that every day. Here's the references. Take your next screenshot. John 3:16, 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21, Romans 8:14 through 17, Galatians 2:20. Just write the verses out on a piece of paper. Begin to say them so that they get down deep inside of your life. Listen, don't ever think the thought that, well, I know those verses once. That's all that's important. No, this is about you and I doing the word of God. And you'll remind yourself of these verses for all of your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, here's my email address and website. Click a screenshot of that. Make sure on all of our stuff you like, subscribe, and hit the bell, and you'll be connected to us. We got a video about just about everything you want to know. And the cool thing is, it's free. I love it. Put my name in, Samuel J. Cottle, and then just put in faith. You watch how many videos you get on faith. It's an amazing thing. Put in righteousness. You'll get a bunch of videos on righteousness. YouTube will search it up for you and bring it to you. And that's a wonderful thing. Here we go. Get your communion elements. Hold them up. And I got too many buttons to push here. And we'll make our confession. You ready? Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread, representing your broken body, and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Speak these words right out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
You were
bruised
for
my
iniquity. The chastisement for
my peace is on
you,
Lord,
and
by
your
stripes
I
am
healed
in
my
spirit,
in
my soul,
and
in my
body,
in my mind,
in
my
will,
and
in
my
emotions.
There
is
nothing
missing
and
nothing
broken.
All
trauma
is
removed from
my
life
now.
Say it again.
All
trauma
is
removed
from
my
life
now.
Every
joint
supplying
in
my
body
from
your
broken
body,
Jesus,
in
the
body
of Christ
in
my
community
and
around
the
world,
wherever
you send
me
or
this prayer,
I
receive
the bread,
your
body
broken
now.
In
Jesus'
name,
amen. Let's
receive
the bread together. Thank you, Jesus, for your broken body in our lives. Now, thank you that you did it all, counted it joy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Now, hold your cup up and let's pray this together. I bless this fruit of the vine
in
obedience
to
your word.
In
remembrance
of
your blood shed
to
provide
redemption's
price
and
righteousness
for
me.
By
your
blood,
Jesus,
I
have
been
redeemed.
By
your blood,
Jesus,
I
have
reconciliation
with
God,
my
Father.
By
your
blood,
Jesus,
every
sin
has
been
placed
in remission
in
my life.
I
am
a
new
creation,
recreated
in
Christ
Jesus.
Old
things
have passed away,
and
now
all
things
are
made
new.
By
the
blood of Jesus,
I
come
boldly
to
the
throne
room
of grace,
where
I
find
mercy,
grace,
and
help
for
my
assignment,
my
dominion
mandate
on
this
earth.
By
your
blood,
Jesus,
and
by
the
word
of
my
testimony,
the
accuser
of
the
brethren
is
cast
down
forever,
and
there
is
no
condemnation
in
my
life.
By
your
blood,
Jesus,
every
plague,
every
curse
must
pass
over,
cannot
be
on
me
or
my
family.
By
your
blood,
Jesus,
my
conscience
is
purged.
My
robes
are
made
white,
and
I
will
always
be
the
glorious
church,
without
spot,
wrinkle,
or
any
other
blemish.
When
you
come
for
me,
I
receive
the
fruit
of
the
vine
now,
in
Jesus'
mighty
name.
Amen and
amen.
Let's receive the juice together. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Well, this is where we always sing a song. Are you ready? Everybody sing with us. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. All right, now let's sing it, and let's have Audrey and Dan and Phyllis sing with us. Oh, they probably got people sleeping in their houses, don't they?
Maybe.
All right. Sister Phyllis, you got some verses to read tonight?
Oh, I have Ephesians 3.
That's a good one.
Right in front of me.
That's a good one.
Okay, verse 14 through 21. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. And thank you, Phyllis. And it's good to hear you, your voice, happy and cheerful. And we call you healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you. I do too. I accept that. And I would like to read Revelation 1, 5 through 8.
Thank you for staying focused in the middle of my wandering mind.
Oh, I love this. Okay. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty.
In Jesus' mighty name. Man, I don't know why we didn't include that. Say that last verse again.
I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And those words are in red. That's Jesus calling himself. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. That's Jesus' words.
Those are Jesus' words. And, you know, think about John. He's, for some reason, I think he's on the beach. I don't know why I always think that, but. Does it say that somewhere? He was on the beach by the water somewhere. Anyway, it says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day.
On the island. Indianapolis.
Yeah. So anyways, whether he was on the beach or not, we don't know, but he was in the spirit. And think about Jesus showing up. Wow. Jesus just showing up and bam, there it is. And he gave John the revelation. And that revelation is just about to break loose everywhere around us. Make sure you stay ready.
Amen.
My prayer, remember this, my prayer for you, and I need you to pray it too. You want to see it. Because only those things which you hold dear will have value, right? My prayer is that in a dream, in a vision of the night, the Lord speaks to you. But I need you to say it also. Speak to me in a dream. And God is, I mean, just like Braden, man. Braden had a dream. He went to heaven and saw Jesus. That's amazing.
This is amazing.
That is an answer to your prayer and mine. And we didn't know he was praying for Braden, but I want you to say it with me over everybody that's ever been in my life, over everybody that was supposed to be in my life. May they all have a dream and come to know you in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. That's all we got. Kind of a short program tonight, only lasted about 2 hours, 20 minutes. But don't hold that against us. Come back tomorrow. We'll give you 3 hours. Till we see you again. This is what we have to say. If you have any questions in the middle of the night, send them to Richard Miller. He'll be driving out there somewhere, and he's glad to answer questions all night long. Love you, Richard. Thanks for being a part of this, man. Thank you, Phyllis. Thank you, Audrey. Father, we bless Tony with healing and health and strength in his body tonight and every night. We bless all of our brothers and sisters, those we haven't seen in a while. We declare it autism. Your power has no, you have no power. The blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the word of Almighty God is much more powerful than you. Father, we give you glory that tonight great victory and peace and strength comes to all of our brothers and sisters. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this? We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus
is Lord.
And Jesus is Lord. We'll see you soon. In Jesus' mighty name.
God bless you.
Bless you, Phyllis. And all the gators around you.
God bless you all.
Bless you, Audrey. May the gators turn into gator boots. Later. Listen to this post. This is a text I just got. We're looking very short on drivers right now. All crews are about to be up and running. Please book your hitches now. Hey, Samuel, chains are needed for the illusion. Give the truck in front of you enough room to safely clear the hill. Get enough speed to make sure you can climb it.
Wow.
I don't know where you're going to get speed at. Because you have to go down around this little curve onto the pad. Well, you can only go 5 miles an hour on the pad. And when you come off the pad, you got to turn left around a building so you don't have no speed.
Huh.
Why they don't just take a semi or take a Adam Grader out there and dig up the snow until you get dirt in it so that they can, the tires will wear.
Yeah.
Anyways, go ahead. You were going to say something to me.
They're saying they need all drivers on, but isn't everything already filled, all of the slots?
I don't know. I wonder what would happen if I hit start shift right now.
Don't try it.
Why, love?
Because you need sleep. We just need to go to bed. You're making me tired.
You're making me tired just looking at you. All right. Well, fine. Be that way then.
Okay,
wow.
Relentless. I thought Rippy was going to start singing with us tonight. He was sure watching you, like, if his little lips were puffed.
That's
like,
awesome. Isn't that awesome?
Maybe he can hear again. There's been a couple of times that I thought he's heard something, but then I do something afterwards and he doesn't seem to hear it. But so what's awesome?
That he could hear.
Oh. Oh, honey, I cannot find the Read the Word playlist. I was going to send it to Braden and Scott.
Is that why you were scowling?
Maybe. I don't know. I seem to scowl a lot and I don't realize it, they say. But I might have been because I was discouraged thinking, why can I not find this playlist? Send it to them while I'm thinking about it. And
all right, so this is what you do. You put Samuel J. Cotto.
I did. Yeah, I found the whole playlist. I just can't find the one that says Read the Word.
Playlist. Well, there's Read the Word full playlist right there.
You can show me.
I put in,
ready to go out and go potty.
I put Samuel J. Cotto playlist. The second one down is Read the Word full view full playlist.
Okay, I have to poop.
I have to poop too. Isn't pooping just fun?
I want to get the music on here first. What is going on? I'm so happy they're starting to be on more. So stupid, these wicked people are shutting down, trying to shut down this that was meant for God. Won't you? Got to quit being so angry at stupid people.
Goodness sakes alive.
Mommy, go potty first and then I'll pick you up. Thank you.
my daughter tears. Yeah. What? What are you looking for? What do you gotta do? Love, why am I so sore? Goodness sakes alive. Just not sleeping makes you sore.
You already went outside, did you? Sharpie in the house, and I carried off in the truck. And I had 15 of them in the truck and none in the house. They're all in the truck.
Feeling bread, and it made me think of you and your brother.
Roger sounded really excited about being on the fast.
Father to help him to receive this healing.
Yeah. He said he weighs about 280.
How tall is he, though? He's got to be near 7 foot, isn't he?
No, he's like 6'2". But he'll lose all that just fluffy fat real quick.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll just keep encouraging him to go find a restaurant that serves healthier food. And then he'll go to new places and get his life back. It's like that. I felt like I had to poop.
Uh-huh.
But I really didn't poop that much.
I know. See, I keep dealing with that too.
Isn't that, what is it? It's just, body's just digesting it? Really? I really want to listen to that Bill Johnson message again. And take notes this time. I really want to eat, but I should have eaten earlier. But
well, honey, you should eat.
I shouldn't eat.
You didn't eat your dinner.
I ate a whole bowl of soup, and I ate 2 bowls of the other stuff. I'm going to wait, and we got finished eating at what, 5 o'clock? So, 18 hours from 5 o'clock is 11 o'clock.
Okay, I'm
going to run down to the freezer. All right. No, what I was looking in here. All right. I haven't done this in a long time, though. I'm like watching a whole bunch of political videos. So Melania Trump steps up to the podium at a rally and starts praying the Lord's Prayer. Thank you.